It's here! And a pleasant hello to you and yours. Thank you for tuning in to the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. We are available, as you probably have found out, at stoneyrichards.com. And also as a free podcast on iTunes, both those free, and they're all stored there. So if you want to go back in time and hear the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast through time, why, I'll leave that entirely up to you. Available for comments, anything you want to send to me, Twitter, and that's at Stoney Richards. And you can always put it on the website there as well at stoneyrichards.com. It has been quite a week since last we spoke to each other. Paris attacks have gone on, and now it seems that they're going on. It seems that they're going on around the world, even as I speak. And it's just one of the crazier times in American history. But the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast will continue on, my friends. We will continue on. And we will get to the news as a part of the program today. The Clintodashians, it's about as political as we like to get. And, of course, we want to keep you abreast of what's going on at home. And, well, as you may have guessed from the music that says it's time for the letter from home, it is time once again for our weekly letter from home. Because, my friends, no matter how far away you roam, there simply is no place like home. And as we look out on the world from our homes, we see and hope that maybe home is the safest place to be. Mayor Bill Peduto came under fire for saying that Pittsburgh would welcome Syrian refugees, and the controversy became so heated that the mayor had been given extra security. And just for the record, if you write the name Peduto on your computer and spell check is on, it redlines the name. Come on, Mr. Machine. Learn the name of Mr. Peduto, won't you? Speaking of refugees, my friends, we have one that's been attacking my very home. Yes, this one flew in undercover and by early morning light had staked out its territory, holding us hostage for days on end. The name of this enemy? A woodpecker. Now, the animal control guy got into whether it's red in his crest or black speckles on his tail, but I replied, "Sir, that is for the Homeland Security folks to deal with. I just want him dead." To which he replied, "You can't kill a woodpecker. Turns out they're protected by law." What is happening in this country, my friends? What is happening in America? Anyway, this uninvited intruder to the wilds of western Pennsylvania has pecked a baseball-sized hole in our home cedar siding and is now picking out insulation to make for a roomy, comfortable nesting place. How long can America stand by and let this madness continue? We need leadership and a policy to take on woodpeckers and rid us of these pests. I am considering building a wall that will enhance my home's no-fly zone to keep these evil characters away from my home and land. Yes, after Walter Lantz created a lovable and happy cartoon character named Woody, we were entertained. But I now have come to learn that this was only the first in a propaganda movement designed to give woodpeckers world domination at our expense. Yes, it's going to cost the Richards homeland $200 to rid ourselves of this plaguing avian. Now, don't get me wrong, I love birds. Some birds are my friends, but many, like this woodpecker perhaps, is a killer of many of my insect friends, errant tree limbs, and perhaps worse. As you've probably heard, or not heard, none of the presidential candidates have released any sort of statement to cover this madness. Perhaps they are birds of a different feather, and I would suggest that we create a government task force to investigate these fly-by-night operations. Yes, the very symbol of American freedom is an avian, an eagle, but even he knows that the best place to roost is not in my home, but atop the red, white, and blue. I will say this when it comes to woodpeckers. I will fight them in the air. I will fight them on the land, and I will fight them in the gables of my home. until we can say with confidence that when it comes to woodpecker holes, that we are free of them at last. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's this week's Letter from Home. Well, I don't know if you heard this news today. Perhaps you have. It's been kind of all over the news. And in Did You Hear the News Today? Oh boy. Princeton University will consider expunging former United States President Woodrow Wilson's name from facilities and school programs after signing a deal with student demonstrators who feel he has a racist legacy. Student demonstrators and top administrators at New Jersey's prestigious Ivy League school solidified the agreement after members of the Black Justice League student organization staged a 32-hour sit-in outside Princeton President Christopher Eisgruber's office. Mr. Eisgruber said Princeton appreciated the willingness of the students to work with us to find a way forward. Okay? The demonstrators demanded the removal of Mr. Wilson's name and image from public spaces and a name change for Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. They also wanted the school to establish a cultural competency and diversity training program and select a space for cultural affinity groups. Now, the school says it will consider removing a mural of Wilson, begin conversations about Wilson's legacy, and boost cultural competency training for faculty. Administrators agreed not to impose any formal disciplinary action against the student protesters who peacefully left the office. Now, here's the backstory to all this. At the time of his presidency, from 1913 to 1921, President Woodrow Wilson was considered one of the most prominent leaders of the progressive movement. However, he publicly supported racial segregation, which was legal at the time and part of public policy in all 50 states. Segregation in public accommodations was not banned until decades later when President Lyndon Johnson signed the 1964 Civil Rights Act. While in office, wouldn't that have been the 48 states at that time? Anyway, while in office, Wilson organized a private screening of the film Birth of a Nation, which was widely criticized by the NAACP at the time and later became a recruiting tool for the Ku Klux Klan. At Boston University, Professor William Keeler noted in a 2013 article on the university website, with quotations from Wilson's scholarly writings in its subtitles, the silent film denounced the Reconstruction period in the South when blacks briefly held elective office in several states. It hailed the rise of the Ku Klux Klan as a sign of Southern white society's recovery from the humiliation and suffering to which the federal government and the Northern carpetbaggers had subjected it after its defeat in the Civil War. The film, if you've not seen this, you must. The film depicted African Americans, most played by white actors in blackface in this film, as uncouth, uncivilized rabble. While the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, publicly denounced the movie's blatant appeals to racial prejudice, the president organized, President Wilson, organized a private screening of his friend's film in the White House for the members of his cabinet and their families. He said, it's like writing history with lightning, and my only regret is that it is all so terribly true. Demands for the erasure of Wilson's name from Princeton property and programs coincides with a wave of protests at U.S. colleges over the treatment of minority students. Wilson served as president of Princeton University from 1902 to 1910 before becoming President of the United States. So where this goes from here, I don't know, but we will keep you abreast, and I certainly hope it doesn't follow the route of my friends at the Firesign Theater who used to say, forward into the past! Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do.
The world is making headlines, maybe telling white lies. They wanna run the nation, the Kardashians.
It's time once again for another exciting episode of the Clintodashians. In today's episode, Bill and Hillary welcome another guest to Thanksgiving dinner.
Hey, Hillary, you expecting any more visitors?
Not that I know of, Bill. Why don't you get it? Hey, Bill, Hillary, it's me, Bobby Jindal.
Well, sure doesn't sound like you, Bobby.
Don't worry about it, Bill. Nobody knows what I sound like anyway. That's why I dropped out of the race.
Yeah, I heard. Well, you made the right move, Bobby. I agree with your timing, and, you know, timing is everything, and this ain't the time, but thanks for stopping.
Hey, but I... Looks like they're coming out of the woodwork, Bill, huh?
I get that. Oh, Donald.
Are we looking at the biggest disaster right in the face and don't recognize it?
Hi, Donald. What's on your mind?
Even though I've regained my lead in the polls, the people are loving me. I'm a guy who sees the writing on the wall. Not my wall, because that wall is going to be a beautiful wall.
Hey, Donald. I was just wondering when you said... You know, a little while back, you said Mexico is going to pay for that wall. Is it going to be in dollars or pesos?
You know what, Bill? You're a funny guy. You're a funny guy. You're having a good laugh. And I wonder, why is that? Is it because you think I'm funny? Huh? You laughing at me because you think I'm funny? Is that what you think?
Donald, is there a reason you dropped by? I mean, we're getting ready for dinner.
Hey! I'm a reasonable guy. Chances are good that America is going to play the stupid card and vote for you for president. Now, how dumb you gotta be to vote against the most popular guy who's going to make America great again?
Don, it's Thanksgiving. It's getting late. What's on your mind?
Well, just one thing. If you two get back to the White House, I, Donald Trump, want to build you a really great White House that's going to be so beautiful that everybody's going to love it. I mean, this place goes back to the 1800s. You know what I'm saying? It's not even a fixer. It's a freaking teardown. I'm telling you, the property alone, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Maron, it's a gold mine. And when we rename it the Trump White House, I'm telling you, you'll be renting out a little bit more in the Lincoln bedroom, if you know what I'm talking about.
Donald, we'll take that under consideration. I'll send it up to the lawyers.
I'm only saying, Hillary. Well, this old house to become the Trump White House? Sounds to me like the GOP might be doing a little DIY. Find out in our next exciting episode of The Clintodashians.
So now on the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for the evening sports dish. So let's get right to it, shall we? Well, in this bye week for Steeler fans, we sit back knowing that the second, or maybe it was the third or fourth coming of Ben, has resurrected us once again. Number 7, in a backup role no less, came into the game after Landry Jones, who no doubt is going to soon be called the hapless Landry Jones, was temporarily injured. Sorry, Landry, if you're the backup to a guy like Ben and you get injured in the backup role as a fill-in starter... It is more than unfortunate. It is the universe telling you to give it up. It's over. Call your agent. Call your parents. But don't call us any plays. At least for the time being. That being till Ben wins us another Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger has found a way to convince us all that should the Steelers have no more than an average defense, offense, and fallible coaching, that he... will win the Super Bowl for us once again. Possible? True? Not really, but please don't get in the way of a good story. It's what all Steeler fans, all football fans want. The gridiron hero. Not the player of the game, not the NFL player of the week. We want the savior of mankind. Against all odds, with no help. As the movie trailer says, one man raised his hand against the forces that would destroy him and said, this, my friends, is football. It's not DraftKings or fantasy schmantasy leagues. This is football. No T, no L. All alone. The pass spiraling through the air while the quarterback against 11 heavy charging foes drops back in double-sized non-matching shoes, wearing body armor to protect what's left of his massive 6'5" frame, launching not a Hail Mary, but a damn all you foes to hell who would oppose us completion to none other than the quiet voice that barely makes a sound in the wilderness, and yet his name vibrates upon the lips of every Steeler fan in the world. Heath, it's coming. The stats will fail. The CBS and Fox announced teams will stutter. The Vegas bookies will squawk. But in the end, Ben Roethlisberger will hold the Lombardi Trophy high again, and we'll have no one else to thank but ourselves for saying, we told you so, and here we go, Steelers, here we go. I'm Stoney Richards at Sports from My Vantage Point. High in the booth!
Let's get out there and hit some people!
Well, now, it certainly wouldn't be the holiday season without that holiday music that we just played there. And so on the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, a little bit of holiday lore. What I have for you in this segment of the program is something we call the myths of Thanksgiving. It's well known that most people think the first Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1621 and every year after. In fact, not most likely. Most likely, it was a Wampanoag Indian festival in which the pilgrims were allowed to participate in, and it would have been much earlier in November, perhaps even in September, than our feast because of, say it with me, class, the weather. Actually, Lincoln appointed Thanksgiving as the last Thursday in November in 1863, and FDR further refined it to be the fourth Thursday in November back in 1939. And just two more. These are myths of Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. Thanksgiving was turkey, corn, cranberries, mashed potatoes, and pie. In fact, it was more likely deer, maybe duck, and some turkeys, but also lobster and clams. The other thing is, the real first Thanksgiving that we remember from 1621 was never really celebrated then. It was celebrated, more than likely, on December 4th in 1619, by a group of 38 settlers on the James River on a ship called the Marguerite, 20 miles from Jamestown. The tradition died out in 1622 with the Indian Massacre of 1622, where most of the settlers were killed and the rest fled to Jamestown. Happy holidays. And speaking of the holidays, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the final segment of the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, the martini for you. And it is a story that fits into the holidays because it's a story that ran in the Post-Gazette from Suzette Pamlee of the Philadelphia Inquirer that says, it's back, the Kmart Blue Light Special. The store Kmart is going back to their very successful marketing campaign as of November 1st. It's ongoing now. The program first started in 1965. It's part of the Kmart rebranding program, what I like to call the If It Ain't Broke, Don't Fix It program. No less than the prestigious Wharton School of Finance in Pennsylvania has chimed in on this, saying that nostalgia has powerful effects on connecting emotions and identity that may be rooted in one's past. To elaborate, one recent Blue Light special had a 16-piece comforter set that sells regularly for $137.99. On sale, it was $79.99, but for the Blue Light special, it sold for $19.99. Now that's nostalgia. That's it, folks. That's what we got. That's the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast for you. Hope you enjoyed it. Listen back again and again and again. I mean, you can always find it on stoneyrichards.com, which is probably where you found it first, or perhaps you're finding these on iTunes. Thank you, Apple iTunes, for putting these things up there for us. I want to say thanks to our musical conductor, Johnny Grieco, and of course our webmaster, Jeff Orovitz, and to you, and to you and your family, have a very happy, safe Thanksgiving. I'm Stoney Richards. That's our Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast for you for this week. My radio show, Live from the Center, can also be heard in its entirety on KDKA, America's first radio station. Again, have a great week, a great Thanksgiving.